That's going to be at the Parsons House. That is a go. It's going to be Saturday, July 14th at 1 p.m. at the Parsons House. There is a covered dish lunch at 1 o'clock. Directions to their house are going to be available out in the lobby as of tomorrow morning, or you could just see them. And that is to plan our missionary conference that's going to be in the fall. They'd like some helpers to kind of join them and help get that moving. So if you're interested, please see them and go to the planning session. Also, Kids Camp is coming up for July. That's July 22nd and 22nd through the 26th. They're going to need a lifeguard for Kids Camp. So anyone interested in that, please see John L. or Jamie Clink Smitley. And Kids Camp is not here. It's at Camp Albrioka. It's in Myersdale, Pennsylvania. And also, we are postponing the picnic lunch that I told you about last week. And that, as a reminder, that's one family will make a picnic lunch, another family will bid on that lunch. The winning bidders will eat the lunch and share it with the family that made it. And that's just a way to raise money for the kids and also for us to get to know each other as families and fellowship. And the picnic will be on the grounds. And that's why we're postponing it. It's due to the heat. So please watch for a new date for that. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Meg. Let's all stand together and continue our worship tonight.
Stay. Jesus is alive. Empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed.
It's always a great time together in God's house, and I encourage you to come out and meet with us again. We come here because life is hard, and we recognize that we need Jesus Christ to live a life that is in any way acceptable. I mean, if we're left to our own devices, most of us just royally mess things up. And that's what the Oasis is about. It's about coming together to say, I know my life isn't the way I really want it to be. And I need Jesus Christ. I need him to speak to me. I need to worship him. I need to lift up my voice and sing his praises and invite him once again for one more week to come into my life and help me run things himself the way he sees fit. And that's what Oasis is all about. We're really glad you're with us tonight. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your death on the cross. Lord, we thank you that you don't just leave us to our own devices, but that you mercifully and graciously intervene in our lives and in our hearts. And you offer us the opportunity to know you and walk with you in an incredible way. Lord, you've given us each a destiny and a, and a path in life. You've called us to specific tasks and responsibilities, and we thank you for that. We pray that tonight you'd speak to us once again, and that you'd be pleased from our worship and our praise, not just with our voices and instruments, but with our hearts. In Jesus' name. Saves, and this is just a celebration of who Jesus is.
join the song. Lift your voice. It's heaven and earth.
Forever and ever, we see His loving doors.
His love in yours.
His love in yours. Forever His love in yours. Forever His love in yours. Forever and ever. His love in yours. Forever His love in yours. Forever His love in yours. Forever and ever.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Who's glad to be here tonight?
Amen.
Yeah? You guys a little warm? Is it summertime, like, all the way? Yeah? I'm like, do I have, like, sweat stains showing or anything? Because we're really playing up here, and we're having a blast just worshiping God. And I don't even care if we got sweat stains, right? Because we're doing it for Jesus. I'm really glad that you decided to spend your Saturday evening with us, because we're going to be starting a new series tonight. And I believe it's vitally important to your life and my life that we get this, that we apply this, and that we work through this stuff. And the series is titled Habits of a Healthy Christian. Habits of a Healthy Christian. Who wants to be healthy tonight? Yeah? All right. Well, that's great. I want to be healthy too. My wife and I, we just decided to get healthy, okay? You guys do that? Anybody else out here, like, have this whole thing where it's like, I'm getting healthy, right? You know, yes, PJ, that's right. Well, you're actually doing it right now, right? But, you know, you do this ebb and flow in your life where it's like you have these moments, man, I'm going to get healthy, you know, I'm going to do this thing. And you go and you spend, like mountains of money on a gym membership, and you get all that stuff. Well, we bought these little things. It's a little toy. It's called a Fitbit. In fact, I'm going to set it so that it will tell me how many calories I burn while I'm preaching. Okay? Isn't that awesome? Okay, so we get this thing and it tracks our steps. It's like this, like, super geekified, nerd-tacular pedometer, basically. And it's got, you know, 3D sensors on it, so it tells me how many steps I've taken, how many flights of stairs I've climbed, how many calories I've burned, how much distance I've traveled, how good my sleep is, because I wear it on my wrist at night, you know, and it's really cool. And we're counting our calories and everything. And it's a lot of fun. And I know what you're all thinking, okay? Because I get this all the time. They're always like, Ron, why? And I got this over 4th of July. You know, I'm like, I got my little iPhone out and I'm like, well, how many calories are in this? You know, I'm looking it all up and tracking it all in my app, you know. And people are like, why are you watching your calories, Ron? You're skinny enough as it is. Why do you need to lose weight, right? Okay? And people say this stuff to me. And the answer I give them is because I want to be healthy. I want to be healthy. So before we get into habits and talking about the habits we need to apply in our life, I think we need to talk about the healthy Christian part. What does it mean? What does it look like to be healthy? So this week we're going to kind of introduce it and talk about what does it mean to be healthy? Because the same thing going on with me and my physical health could be going on with you and your physical health or your spiritual health or your mental health. All those areas could be playing. And this is kind of the situation. The most famous modern definition of health was created during the preamble to the Constitution of the World Health Organization, the WHO. Okay, and it was adopted in 1946. And this is what it says. Healthy is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Okay? So healthy is not just the absence of disease or infirmity. So I don't have cancer. Does that make me healthy? No. I'm not crazy overweight. Or I'm not even overweight in my body mass index. Does that make me healthy?
No.
No, it doesn't make me healthy. Thank you, Sue. My mother-in-law back there, she's like, no, you're not healthy. You know why she says that? Because she knows me. All right, the reason that I stay small is because I have portion control. When I was a little kid, we got this care package, and I've told this story before, so I'll be quick. But we got this care package from America. I grew up in Japan, was a missionary kid there, and we would get these care packages with American sweets because there was no real sweet stuff in Japan. It's
it's hard to explain. It's very mild. Like, think of strawberry shortcake without the strawberry stuff on top, okay? Like, very mild sweets. And so that's what I was used to. And then we'd get, like, a case of Butterfingers and, like a case of licorice and a case of Twix and, like, all this stuff. And we got it one Christmas, and my parents didn't limit me, okay? My mom has always limited me my whole entire life. Well, you can have one right now, and then maybe later you can have another. No. This Christmas, I don't know if they were feeling guilty because they couldn't provide all the things that they wanted to as parents, you know, because we're poor missionaries on the field or what, but they just let us go hog wild. And my mom baked pies and stuff with all the stuff that that we got sent. And so I ate and ate and ate and ate and ate sweet sugar candy until that night about 2 a.m., my body revolted. And just, it was a mess. I ran downstairs and I threw up and had the other thing for like days. I didn't want to smell food. I didn't want to taste food. I didn't want to see food. Anything to do with food would make me go, oh, and I'd get really queasy. And ever since that time, when that happened to me, I don't overeat. I get full and I'm like, I'm done. It's great. It's wonderful. I would suggest you try it. No, I'm just kidding. No, don't do that. But so I get to a point where I'm full and I quit. That's great, right? But the problem is I'll get hungry about 4:30 before my wife starts dinner or getting ready for dinner, you know, or maybe she's not home yet or something, and I will go and pop a bag of popcorn. And I'll eat the whole bag of popcorn. And then I'll eat like four Pop-Tarts or something. And then I'm full, so I quit. Is that healthy? No, it's not. And so this is what would go on. I would get hungry and I would find snacks and I'd eat till I'm full, but they were always junk, garbage food. And so on the outside, I may look okay, but on the inside, I wasn't healthy. Over the last 5 years, I've gained about 2 pounds a year. Okay? That's not bad. It's not bad at all, you know? It's not good either. When I'm like 50, that means I'm going to be like huge. So I have to keep up. But you know, portion control is good, but the truth is my sinuses are a mess because of stress and anxiety and allergies and lack of sleep and lack of exercise and lack of nutrients in my diet because I don't take care of myself. So I want to get healthy. I want to get healthy. And the same is true with other areas of our life. I may look healthy on the outside, but on the inside, my body knows that it's very much different. And the same could be true for you tonight. You might look healthy on the outside, but on the inside, in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind, in your emotions, in your thoughts, and what's going on inside of you on a day-to-day basis, it can be very unhealthy. And I think that happens to all of us a lot. And that's why it's important that we become healthy. And it's not just spiritually speaking. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you have your Bible tonight. And we're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight. I won't turn to it all. I have some of it written down that I'll be reading. But if you want to follow along, you're welcome to it. I encourage you to, you know, take notes, write it down, follow along, and look these up later if you want. 1 Thessalonians, if you can't find Thessalonians, you're not alone. It is right after Colossians, okay? That's like page 986 if you're in an ESV. Actually, no, we're going to go chapter 5, verse number 23. So 988, all right? Right before 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, right after Colossians. It's towards the back of your Bible. And I'm going to read verse number 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." Okay, let's back up there and talk about some of these words, because we have the word sanctify in there, and that's kind of a big word that we don't use a lot, okay? We're not at the dinner table and say, "Hey, would somebody sanctify me a piece of chicken?" You know, we don't talk about that, but that's kind of the idea. Sanctified means set apart. It means that you have set this apart, you've carved out this thing. Think of like a savings account, okay? And you get the money in like 10% or whatever is sanctified. This is set apart in this account for Christmas or vacation or whatever. It is set apart for a specific purpose, okay? And so that's what we are to be. Paul's saying here that we are to be set apart for God's specific purpose. Okay? Now, what part of us is supposed to be? Our whole selves. Our whole entire being is supposed to be set apart for God's purpose. And I love how he spells it out here. He says that now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does this mean? What am I getting at? I'm getting at this. Church is not just about spiritual stuff. Being a Christian is not just about spiritual stuff. You're like, well, I don't know about that. God is not just interested in your spirit. Christianity is more than great worship experience and spiritual surrender. He is not just interested in your mind, because Christianity is more than just what you believe and holding a specific set of biblical, philosophical ideas in your head, okay? God is not just interested in your body, okay? We hear this a lot of times. Preachers preach about our body. It's more than just don't eat these things. Don't go these places. Here's the list of things you're supposed to do, and here's the list of things you better not do, okay? It is beyond that. It is not just any one of those categories. It is all of the above. God is interested. No, God demands your undivided self fully focused on his purpose and his will. And anything below that standard is just not going to cut the mustard. It's not. Look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Mark chapter 12. So you're going to go Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 31. And this is what it says. This is page 848 if you have an ESV. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing one with another. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him. This is a scribe. This is one of the guys who studies the law, comes up and asks Jesus a question. And this is a question he asked him. Which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered. The most important is, hear, O Israel, and he's quoting from the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and your mind, and with all of your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. When the guy asked Jesus, what is the most important thing in the entire world? Jesus says this, you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. What is all that? I break it down to this, mind, body, and spirit, okay? And those kids that have grown up in my youth group are snickering, right? Because I have been drilling this into them for 10 years. Mind, body, and spirit. And it breaks out. And here's how it breaks down. You say your heart. It's talking about what you're thinking, what's going on inside emotionally and your thoughts and everything. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, okay? Your spirit is that piece of you that communicates with God. When you pray and you know that there's communication going on and you don't have like some crazy transmitter, that's your spirit communicating with God's spirit. When you hear God kind of like nudge you and say, hey, your neighbor needs prayer. Pray for them, or go talk to them, or go give that person a hug. That's the Spirit of God communicating with you. That's that part of you that comes alive when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. Okay? And your body, your strength, that's that physical part of you. That's your bones and your flesh and your blood and the vessels and all that stuff that is surrounding us that we walk around in. And God wants us to love him with all of that. With all of that. To be healthy is to be integrated mind, body, and spirit, a unified tool surrendered to the master's hands. Okay? What does that mean? Here's what happens. Just like my health, on the outside I look pretty good. Like I'm not like, I don't look like I have a goiter, I'm hugely overweight, you know? But on the inside my body was like, give me some vitamin C for the love of all humanity, you know? This is going on inside. This is the same thing. We tend, as Christians, to separate these pieces out, okay? So I'm at church, so this is all about the Spirit. I'm at church, so I'm feeding the Spirit. This is cool. And then maybe we go to the gym and we're taking care of the body. Or we think of sex and alcohol, maybe drugs or money or other stuff that kind of feeds our flesh as our body. And we've heard maybe sermons or preaching about the flesh. And so we think, well, my physical flesh, my body is evil and rotten and horrible, and I should just do whatever I can to ignore it. Just treat it like garbage, you know, because it's rotten and it's not the Spirit. That's not true. Because if that were true, then Jesus wouldn't tell you to love God with all your strength. Paul would say that he wants your whole body sanctified, set apart for God's purpose. Okay? Your flesh is your old nature. That's your old person. That's your old habits that made you who you were. Okay? God wants us to be fully integrated. That means the words I say here are the same things I do at home. And the things I do at home are the same things that I say at work. And the things that I do at work are the same things I do at church. Because I'm an integrated person. That my body and my mind and my heart, they all work together going the same direction. And it's not split out, and I'm not doing different things around different people. There's no hypocrisy. There's no pretending. That I'm fully integrated for God's purpose. And here's the thing. What is our goal as Christians? Anyways, why are we here? Anybody know? Go ahead, you can say. Sue?
To establish God's kingdom.
To establish his kingdom in the universe. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's a book answer. That's not what I'm looking for. That's not what I'm looking for. It's even simpler than that. That's a really good theological thought and answer. And that's not wrong. That's one of the things we're supposed to do. But it's simpler than that. It's even simpler than that. Why are we here? What is our mission as Christians? Go ahead, Meg. You want to say it?
To love.
To love? All you need is love. Right? It's a little bit of love. That's really good. That's close, right? He just said, love God with your body, soul, spirit. That's awesome. It's even simpler than that, though.
Glorify God?
Yes, absolutely. That's part of it. Pastor Joe, great answer. Like that should be our goal. But it's even simpler than that. What's that?
Serve God?
Who said that? Was that Jace?
Yeah.
You said serve God? Lizzie? Andrea? What? It's not polite to point. Okay. Okay. One of you said to serve God. That's really good. That's really close. Here's it is. I'm gonna break it down real simple. Our goal as Christians, what you got to worry about doing in the morning, Courtney, what you got to worry about, Hammer, is listen for God to speak, and then whatever He says to do. Do it. Listen for God to speak. And then whatever He says to do, do it. That's it. It's that simple. If you do that, you're going to love. You're going to glorify God. You're going to establish His kingdom in the universe. You're going to serve. That's what we have to do. You need to learn to have the habits in your life to be listening to God. Coach Dungy. Any of you hear of Tony Dungy? Pretty awesome guy, right? Coach Dungy, he took over, the Bucks? It was just like his first team he went to. And these guys, they were not winning. Was it the Bucks? Who was it? Colts? No, that was second. It was a team before that. Anyways, they weren't winning. They were not doing good. We'll Wikipedia it later. But they weren't winning. They weren't doing so hot. And so Coach Dungy's strategy was, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to teach these guys habits so that when they're on the field, they don't have to think. They will just react. And so he taught his players to look for cues, visual cues, like maybe the other team's foot is a little bit further out, or it's a little bit back, you know, or they're turned just a little bit, or this guy's in motion. And so when they saw those cues, they were supposed to act in a certain way. They were supposed to just react to whatever cues they saw. And when they practiced this and they did it well, they won. They won because they were fast. They were so fast that they didn't have to think. They just reacted to the other team. And they started doing well. The problem was, once they got to the playoffs and the Super Bowl, and the stakes got really high. The stakes got enormous, you know. It's like the Super Bowl and the ring and the trophy and all that good stuff. The players would get so much pressure on them that they would stop doing their habits and their cues. And they would get in the middle of a play, and they would take a half a second, a few milliseconds, and they would think, wait a second, I need to think to make sure I'm on my game. And that thought for that millisecond would ruin everything. And they fell apart. They choked. Until finally, with a tragic incident, Coach Dungy's son passed away. And the whole team was in emotional just turmoil. And they decided, individually, different players said, I'm gonna just surrender myself completely and wholly to Coach Dungy and his strategy. I know it's not conventional. I'm just gonna give myself completely up to what he's training us to do. And I don't care if I get scared in that moment. I'm just gonna completely surrender myself to his plan, to his plays. And when they did that, they won. They became champions. And it's the same thing that happens with us in our spiritual life. When we don't have the habits in place that when God speaks, we automatically obey him and do it, and we take a brief second and we, well, let me think about that one, God. You know, hold up, time out, Jesus. Like, that's a big, then we mess up. We fail. Like, we lose the game. We lose the game. Because in that split second, that's all Ron needs to wreck everything. Seriously. A split second of second guessing God is all I need to make the wrong choice in my life. Seriously, it's that bad. And I'm guessing that you're just like that. Okay? That when you take that pause, do I want to do this? More than likely, you're probably gonna fall away. And you're not gonna do what God has asked you to do. And so let me back this up with some scripture. We're gonna go through these pretty quick, because I got a lot of them. But Matthew chapter 12, verse 48, it says, "But he replied to the man who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And stretching out his hands towards his disciples, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" John 8:25. "So they said to him, 'Who are you?' Jesus said to them, 'Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true, and I declare the word, and I declare to the world what I have heard of him.' They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him.' As he was saying these things, many believed in him." I read a couple different passages here. One passage, some people came up and said, "Hey, Jesus, your mom is out here, and a couple of your family members, they really want to talk to you." And Jesus said, "Look, the people who are my family are the ones who listen to the Father and do what he says." And then in this other passage, Jesus is talking to them, and they say, "Who are you?" And Jesus says, you don't get it. You don't get it. It's not about who am I. It's not about me. I only do. You're going to see this. When I go to the cross, you're going to understand that I only do what the Father has told me to do. Even Jesus Christ, his purpose was listen to what the Father says and then do it. Listen to what God says and then do it. And these are the kind of habits we got to establish in our life. And you know what? We have to be ready and capable of doing what God has asked us to do. Now, let me read you a list here of some different people in the Bible. Adam, we'll go back to the beginning, was tasked with naming the animals. Noah built a big boat. Abraham left his homeland. Abraham was also asked to kill his own son. Jacob raised cattle. Joseph became a slave, a prisoner, royalty, and a savior of his nation. Moses led pilgrims through the wilderness. Aaron conquered a city by walking in circles and playing a little song. Gideon conquered his enemies with clay pots and candles and trumpets. Ruth worked in a field. Esther risked her life to speak to the king, cooked a meal, and saved her people. Job suffered well. Jeremiah's life was full of tears and prison. Daniel faced lions. David slayed a giant. Jesus died on the cross. Paul was struck with blindness, survived snake bites, and carried the new message of the kingdom of God to the throne of Caesar. Peter preached in tongues and healed people. Philip witnessed to a eunuch, and on and on and on. We have these stories of people in the Bible. They all were told by God to live very different lifestyles, to be very different kinds of people, and accomplish very different tasks. What do they have in common? God spoke to them. They listened and did what he said. This is what they all had in common. You see, I read a lot of books about business and psychology and like behavioral economics and just random boring stuff, okay? But, you know, I read a lot of books and I read a lot of Christian living books, you know, about how to be a good follower of Jesus and all this great stuff. And invariably, this is kind of the motto. Some guy, some preacher somewhere does this thing and his church gets really successful. So he writes a book, okay? And then he goes on tour and tells everybody around how this miracle happened in his church and how it can happen in your church, right? So you buy the book and you read the book, you know, as a pastor, you know, same things happen to Pastor Joe, I'm sure, you know. We read this book and we're like, wow, this is so cool. I'm going to do prayer circles all day, every day, you know. Like, maybe talking about the circle maker, you know. I'm going to be purpose driven all the time, you know. And like all this crazy stuff. And we read these and there's nothing wrong with that. There's good stuff in all that. But the thing is, God spoke that message to that man to do that thing in that place. That was his miracle. That wasn't my miracle. How many times has God told you to walk around a city and wait for the walls to fall down? Not so much, right? Not so much. Thank goodness, you know? How many times you had to sleep in a lion's den, Trim? 4 or 5? No? It's not who God called me to be. But if those things happened today, Daniel would be on the writing circuit. Man, look at this, you know, how to survive a night with lions, you know, and it'd be on the bestseller list and everything, and we'd all be buying it. Oh, this is great, you know. God, send me to the lion's den. I want to use it. No. It's not your miracle. Each one of us is created uniquely, and God has a plan for each one of our lives that's going to be different, and it's going to be weird. And we have to be able to have the skill and the ability to listen to what God says. And to do it. And to not think, well, that's not what Pastor Ron's doing. Or that's not what Megan's doing. That's not what Megan's doing. There's two Megans. See how I did there? that's not what my father did. Or that's not how my mom did it. No. God's speaking to you. And I'm not saying a new revelation that's not in the Bible. Like you're going to go out and write a new book of the Bible or anything like that. I'm saying within the context of what God has already given to us as his revelation to mankind. He's got specific tasks and jobs and places for you to work and places for you to be and people for you to talk to and things for you to accomplish in life. And miracles that he wants to work in you and through you. God has a unique plan for each and every one of us. And we need to be sensitive to his speaking in our lives and not just live vicarious spiritual lives through what God is doing in someone else's life. When I lived in Japan, I had a small shortwave radio. And it was really cool. Any of you ever have a shortwave radio? No? Am I old? PJ? Thank you. Somebody. Does anybody know what a shortwave radio is? Okay. AM, FM, SW. Okay? Shortwave. Just think of it as another band. All right? Except it would broadcast over long distances and it was really cool. So, I'm this kid living in Japan, and I get this radio at like the second hand sale. So I start playing with it. I'm sitting in my room one night and I'm turning the little dial. You guys remember turning dials? Before we had Pandora and like iPhones and everything, you turn the dial, you know, and you go through and then. You know, and you turn it, then you finally get there. And all of a sudden it's like the voice of America. You know, it's like it's the voice of America. It's the news broadcast on shortwave, like in English. And I'm like, whoa, it's English, you know, because I'm like living in Japan. And like I'm not like, you know, all the TV is in Japanese, they have great game shows, but like I just miss hearing part of my culture. When you're embedded in a culture, as much as you love it, you always, this is the thing. When you grow up in two cultures, whatever side you're on, you miss the other side. So like right now, I really miss Japan. Okay, when I live in Japan, I really miss America. Like, okay? So it's the same thing. You're always happiest in the airplane on the way to whichever side, because you're going home, you know? So anyway, so I discovered the station. It's so awesome. And I gotta hold like sideways and like hold my hand on the antenna, you know, and I can't budge because I'll lose it. So I listen to it, and it's like so cool. The next night, I'm like, this is awesome. I'm gonna listen to Voice of America again. And I get on my radio and I turn it on, I put it in the same spot, you know, and I tune the dial and I tune the dial and I try and I try and I try and I can't find it. I can't tune it in. It's just, you know, and I'm hearing weird sounds and I just can't get that station back. And it was so frustrating to me. And God's word is like that. He speaks in a still, small voice. And if we're not tuned to hear him, we might miss it altogether. If you're not tuned mentally, physically, spiritually, to be in a place for God to speak to you, you could miss that broadcast completely. What if God was trying to speak to you, but your mind was so consumed with anger towards children, coworkers, spouse, anything, that you just missed it? You just missed it. What if God was trying to speak to you and you were so out of control emotionally because you didn't take care of yourself? You didn't have healthy boundaries in your life. You just emotionally were a wreck that you didn't hear it. You completely missed the whole thing. What if God was trying to speak to you, but because you're so physically out of shape, you didn't go on the mission trip or show up for work on the work day at church? And so you missed that conversation that was meant for you by God to tell you how to save your marriage, or to tell you how to talk to your mom and dad, or how to deal with that situation at school. What if this September, God calls you to be a missionary, but because you're so financially messed up and upside down that you don't even consider it? Think about it. God's got a plan for us. And if we're not in a place physically, emotionally, spiritually to hear him, then how can we do what he's asked us to do? How can we make our Father in heaven happy? How can we glorify God? How can we love our neighbor as ourselves? How can we establish his kingdom? The point is, God cares about your mind, body, and spirit. And we are to live a balanced lifestyle that keeps us tuned to hear what he has to say and to do what he has called us to do. Let's all stand together tonight. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. I just want you to provide some privacy for yourself and for others around you. And I want to just ask you a couple questions tonight. Tonight, what is God speaking to you? What is the voice of God communicating to you tonight? The first step of faith is to admit that you have lost control and that the mess you are in is because of your own control. You need God's help to make you into the person you really want to be. That's the first step, just admitting that. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some habits to help us surrender to be the people God wants us to be, that he's called us to be, so that we can listen and respond and do whatever he asks us to do. So when I ask you tonight, as you think about yourself, think about your mind, your thought life, think about your body, how you take care of yourself physically, think about your spiritual life, your communication with God. Is there work that needs to be done? Can you admit that? And say, yeah, there's an area I really gotta work on. If you can, then I wanna ask you to join me on this journey. Join me in committing to take a fearless inventory of your life. No cover-ups, no excuses. Just fearlessly seek out your wrongs so you can turn them over to God, so that you can surrender, so you can let that part of your life be sanctified, set apart for God, so you can give your entire being to be a tool so when God speaks, that you can act right away and do what he's called you to do. Can you do that tonight? If so, then I want to invite you to pray with me in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. Just agree with me in your spirit and in your heart. God will see that and hear that. Dear Jesus, tonight we come to you, Lord, confessing. Confessing our sin, our faults, our mess-ups. Confessing that we do not have it together. That our own control, our own choices, our own running of our own stinking life has made it a mess. God, we ask that you would intervene like you did in our eternal lives with salvation. Lord, we ask that you would intervene in a real and powerful way, that we would hear from you this week. You start to speak to us, and you start to move in our bodies, you start to move in our minds and in our hearts and in our spirits. Lord, I pray that we would open ourselves up. Everything would be available for you to deal with this next few weeks, Lord. God, we surrender to you, and we ask that you help us to be healthy. Healthy Christians that are ready and willing to obey you and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Every week we take up an offering. It's part of how we worship God, by giving of our stuff. It's commanded in Scripture. We don't beat around the bush. That's between you and God. If you don't want to give, then you get to answer him, not me. So if you want to make that part of your worship tonight, we have a plate in the back, a plate on the side. We're not even going to walk around and say, here, you know. But that's not what it's about. It's about you and God and just your communication with him. So we invite you to take part in that tonight as we leave. After we sing, we're going to sing one more song called The Saving One. And after we close with our song, usually we have snacks and stuff in the back, and you guys are welcome to hang out here, but a bunch of us are going to Applebee's. And so if you want, you can come over to Applebee's with us. We're going to get, it's half off appetizers, right? Half off appetizers. So we're going to be hanging out at Applebee's, eating some healthy appetizers, watching our calories, right? And just come out and have some fun. We'll talk, and hopefully you'll have a meaningful conversation about what you heard tonight.
Selflessness and peace, faith was sorely sealed until he rescued me. His pardon for my sin, his bounty for my need, slavery and shame I am redeemed. Heaven can't contain glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the Saving One. His love is made a way, ravens overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the Saving One.
cross was not enough to steal away his love, for he is God. Heaven can contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the Savior.
We'll see you back tomorrow.